Oh, yes, it could. And aren't we seeing the results of that, most likely, with all the extreme events we're seeing with droughts, fires, flooding now in Colorado. The last segment, if you joined us in progress, was with someone who lives in Bellevue, Colorado, severely impacted, but not as bad as some others by the flooding and the overflowing rivers. And some of the toxins in that water also a problem, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that and also fracking with our last guest. But right now, I am very pleased and honored to welcome to the program for the first time my former producer and friend, Debbie Friedman. Debbie worked with me when we had a show called EcoTalk on Air America, the late, great Air America radio network, back in 2006 and 7, I guess, is when we were doing our hour-long show. And Debbie has since, after interviewing so many environmental activists, authors, and experts, has become a local environmental activist, but she is concerned about issues that certainly are of or should be of national concern. She is the co-founder of a group called Moms Advocating Sustainability. And thanks for being with me, Debbie.
Hi, Betsy. Thanks so much for having me.
I was at a meeting at your home just this past week, finally made it to one of your recruiting meetings, and I was very impressed. Not only were there many moms there, although not all moms, many women who are equally concerned about these issues that you're addressing with Moms Advocating Sustainability, but you have an incredible track record. I think you're about 5 years old, the nonprofit, and tell us, first of all, why you got involved personally and some of the, you know, policy battles that you've got involved in and some of your victories.
Sure, happy to. Well, I became involved personally for, it was a couple of reasons. First, the state of California was planning to spray by low-flying airplanes an untested pesticide, and they were going to spray all over the Bay Area. This was in 2008. And they were going to spray every 30 to 90 days for a period of 5 to 7 years or longer, potentially, for a moth called the light brown apple moth. And when I heard this news, I thought, no, this can't be real. Like, this must be a joke. And I called my congressman's office, who I'd never called before. I didn't even know who it was at the time. I'm embarrassed to say. And, you know, said, this is a joke, right? This isn't real. They aren't coming to spray us like they did for malathione, you know, back in the 80s and 90s.
With the fruit fly infestation.
Yeah, and they said, no, this is really happening. It's the plan. And so I was fortunate enough to connect with some other parents who were equally concerned about these spray plans. And we joined together and said, let's make a parents group because, you know, moms have a history. We know MAD. We know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We know other mothers' organizations where politicians have a hard time keeping you out of their office and the press has a hard time marginalizing you. And we just decided let's make a parents group because we're really, you know, concerned about this and we need to organize. And so that was the genesis of Moms Advocating Sustainability, MAMAS for short. And it was Mothers of Marin Against the Spray when we first organized.
And you may have surprised yourselves in terms of the voices that you had and the volume, you know, even though you were very respectful and professional, if you will, you really were heard. And maybe that is because you're moms and you have reason to be concerned.
Absolutely. I mean, it was really astounding because when we first started, I heard from all over the place, oh, don't even try. You'll never stop them. Nobody's ever stopped the state from spraying pesticides in the past. This is an invasive pest. It's going to devastate the crops. But what we did was we honed in on the science. We had a doctor on our board. We had other lawyers on our board. We got in touch with scientists at UC Davis and in other places. And we really did our homework to understand, you know, first, was this moth, it's the light brown apple moth again, was this moth a true threat or was it something that farmers could potentially deal with in other ways? Mm-hmm. And then number two, what was in this pesticide that they were telling us that was safe? We really did our homework and dug in. And once we uncovered that the moth was not the threat that they were saying it was, that farmers in other countries were handling this moth, you know, I don't want to say easily because I'm not a farmer, but they were able to handle this without too much difficulty and without any crop devastation. And when we learned what was actually in this spray, which could lodge in your lungs. There were little particles, nano-sized particles that could lodge in your lungs and create lifelong problems. You know, once we had the science on our side, it was pretty hard, you know, for others to really argue with us. But the key was getting that information out there to the public.
And 5 years down the road, what has happened to that little brown moth?
Well, nothing. I mean, the moth is still out there, but there's been no documented crop damage. There's been no documented damage to the wildlands. They never sprayed. We were able to stop them from aerial spraying, and they haven't done the truck spraying that they had planned. And that moth is still out there, and the farmers seem to be managing it just fine without any problems at all. So, you know, that's a real testament to let's look at the science and let's really, you know, deal with this rationally.
Indeed. I think many citizens and parents just assume, they wouldn't spray it if it wasn't safe, and they'll tell you that it's safe levels and not to be concerned, and I think most people want to believe that, and so they go back to their everyday life. But why should we not just let them do what they say is safe when it comes to things like our children's health?
There's so many reasons. I've learned so much since I've helped to found this organization. What we did was we've transitioned once we stopped the aerial spray for the light brown apple moth. We changed our mission. We changed our name to generally work to reduce toxic exposures to children. And, you know, as I said, we did our homework before and we kept doing our homework. We put two doctors on our advisory board, have sought out their advice. And what we've really learned is that the laws governing the use of chemicals that are, you know, put into products that are sold every day in our stores and used in our schools and used in hospitals and used in homes. The laws used to regulate those chemicals are really extremely weak. I mean, the regulation is virtually non-existent, and that's at the federal level. And also when it comes to pesticides, there's very little regulation, and what regulation is done, the testing for health and safety is typically done by the pesticide manufacturers themselves. So, you know, the laws protecting us are extremely old, decades old. They haven't been updated, and numerous chemicals were grandfathered in at the inception of the laws in the first place, and no testing at all was done for those chemicals that were grandfathered in. So honestly, it's been a huge wake-up call. It has been a wake-up call for me, and it has been for all of the people who have worked on our organization.
And even if we could believe them and those chemicals were not harmful to, you know, people, humans, there are many parents out there who have children who have allergies or asthma or any number of conditions that we're seeing more of, and they have to be extra concerned, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I mean, the rates of asthma and allergies are skyrocketing, as you probably already know. In fact, JAMA Pediatrics reported recently that children and teens who are born abroad and immigrate to the U.S. are half as likely to have asthma and allergies than those that are born inside of the U.S. Hmm. And the more time foreign-born children spend in the U.S., the greater their allergies increased. Yet the second-generation immigrants, those people who were born in the U.S., they are identical to U.S.-born people when it comes to allergy and asthma rates. So allergy and asthma rates are skyrocketing. Chronic diseases are skyrocketing all over the place. And yes, those people are highly sensitive or more sensitive to these chemicals that we're all exposed to. You and I might be fine, you know, with certain exposures, and we might go through our merry way, and maybe 40 years from now, you know, some horrible disease might crop up, and it'll be virtually impossible to trace it. Mm-hmm. But a child with asthma, a child with allergies, a child with any kind of, you know, autoimmune disorder is going to be far more impacted. And, you know, my son is an example of that, and that's why I had to work on the light brown apple moth spray. We would have had to move had they actually sprayed. He could not handle it with his asthma and allergies.
Mm, and thank goodness he is doing better. As you last told me, I'm really, really pleased to hear that. But what a concern. I mean, on top of the usual parental worries, you know, having a child who's extra sensitive to these, you know, external threats, it must be really scary. So good for you for channeling your fear into action and progress. Can't let you go before we mention GMOs. That's a big one that you guys have taken on. I learned a lot in hearing one of your speakers at one of your events, Dr. Is it Perro?
Oh, Michelle Perro, yes.
Yes, yes. I had no idea that they were seeing health impacts connected to GMOs.
It's astounding. You know, Dr. Perro's been a pediatrician for more than 20 years, and she has an integrative practice in Marin right now. And she will tell me every time I see her, you know, Debbie, I can't believe what I'm seeing these days. Clinically with these kids, they are so much sicker. They have so many more chronic diseases, and they have weird things going on, you know, weird skin problems, weird learning problems and sensory issues.
Also, and intestinal and digestive problems, she said.
Exactly, intestinal and digestive problems. And she's convinced that GMOs are one of the primary culprits after, you know, doing the research on the actual toxin that's inserted into the seed when GMOs are grown, and then also the massive amount of glyphosates, which is the herbicide that is sprayed on the GMO seeds themselves once they're planted, which is linked to all sorts of problems, especially gut interference.
So what messages would you have for two groups that would be listening to this? One, anyone who happens to be, you know, in the San Francisco Bay Area, what they can do to get involved to support the work you're doing, the great work you're doing. And maybe someone's listening in Texas or somewhere around the country where they have similar concerns, maybe slightly different, but, you know, unfortunately, toxins and pesticides are everywhere. And they would like to either start a chapter or learn more about, you know, how to get organized to fight some of these things that heretofore have been hoisted upon us.
That's a great question. In the Bay Area, certainly contact us. We're at www.momsadvocatingsustainability.org. And you can see on the volunteer page how to get in touch with us. And we definitely are always looking for new volunteers, and we have a lot of different actions that where we can plug people in. And I'd say, you know, the biggest thing for anybody who wants to get organized is to gather a group, you know, even if it's just three different parents. That's how we started. There were four of us. We sat around a kitchen table. None of us had done anything like this before. And we just figured it out as we went along. There's so much information now out there. And you just get a few friends, sit around a table and develop your goals, your mission, and start to get to know your assembly members, start to know get to know your congressperson, start to get to know your city officials, your county officials, whoever it is, you know, whatever laws you are seeking to change, you need to start just getting to know those people and do your homework. Get in touch with some physicians you might know who might be supportive of what you're trying to do, or scientists, and learn from them and see if they'll proof all the work, you know, all communications that you're going to make. And you could also get in touch with an organization like Pesticide Watch. Pesticide Watch helped to mentor us. There's a lot of great organizations out there where you can find mentors. And in fact, we're happy to mentor any new organization that wants to get started to work on any type of local issue. So we'd be happy to mentor others. Persistence, I'd say, you know, the most important thing is stay focused, have a goal, and stay laser focused on your goal, and be persistent, because change takes a long time. You know, and the other thing, honestly, as a consumer, is just be aware. Read labels. Call companies. You know, what I do is all the companies that I purchase from, if it doesn't say that they're GMO verified, non-GMO verified, which is this great label that says non-GMO verified by the GMO project, I email them or I call them. It's so easy to get in contact with companies now. And I say, we've eliminated GMOs from our diet. I want to make sure that your company doesn't put any GMOs in this product that I like to buy. And you'll find that the companies are saying, wow, we're hearing this from a lot of people now, and we're doing everything we can to change our formulation. And the more people just that cut out there and aren't afraid to pick up their phone and call or send an email or put a note at their grocery store or call their assembly member or congressman, the more people that are out there just taking little baby steps, the more we're going to see change.
The precautionary principle should be alive and well across this land. And Debbie, I just want to thank you for being such a strong and smart advocate for sustainability for our children. And I hope other areas will model what Moms Advocating Sustainability has started here. Hell hath no fury like a mother alarmed, right?
That's absolutely true. Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. Really appreciate it. See, that's why you were my producer. You're so smart. I really miss those shows we used to do together. And any day now, the world's going to wake up and say, yeah, why don't we have a program on mainstream stations that can tell us what we can do about all these problems that we're hearing about that are scaring the bejeebus out of us.
Yeah, and it was all the interviews with these amazing change makers that inspired me. So I appreciate that experience more than you can imagine.
Wonderful, Debbie. Well, have a great green day, and thanks for joining us on